You were out there during the total solar eclipse, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. And how do people react? Because I have heard that in some countries that some people are panicked stricken over an eclipse.
Well, sure. I mean, it's one of the single most powerful experiences that you can have. We had actually planned to go into what is called the Path of Totality, which was running along the border between Egypt and Libya. Originally, the estimate was going to be, they were anticipating around 5,000 people to descend on this tiny village of Saloum. By the time all of the eclipse tour people got involved, there were nearly 50,000 people descending on this tiny dot of real estate that was equipped for more like 500. And so what we decided to do is to go to a closed archaeological site, which we're going to talk about in detail tonight, I hope, called Abu Ghraib, which is about 15 minutes as the heron flies from the Great Pyramid. And we experienced the total eclipse of the sun there. And that was absolutely the best choice. We were all alone and had just a truly wonderful afternoon.
Well, you know, as you go out to Egypt to look at the pyramid, the Sphinx, and the other incredible structures that are out there, what happens to you as a human being, William, when you see this? I've never had the luxury of being in Egypt. I mean, does your psyche change? Do you start to think about, that this universe is different? What happens to you?
That's a phenomenal question, George, because that is exactly what happens. When you are there, you are, one, stepping back in time and experiencing temples in an experience that is thousands of years old. You're stepping into a vast movie set, if you will, and the name of the movie is Transform This Ordinary Mortal That Has Stepped On to This Great Land Called Egypt That Was Anciently Called Kem. Give us your heart. Give us your mind. We'll feed your soul. And that is what happens in Egypt. I made the mistake. It's no mistakes, but in one of my second presentation, I was talking about how important this concept of lightness of heart is to the ancient Egyptians. It was symbolized by a feather, and the idea was that at the time of death that your heart would be weighed against the feather, and if it was heavier, then they were going to press the recycle button on you, essentially. This experience for me was utterly transformative because I learned that I had a heavier heart than I really appreciated before in my life. Egypt took care of that through the people that were on the tour, the circumstances of the tour, being in Egypt itself. For me, this time was a cleansing and transformative experience that I know is setting my life into a new direction. And that is the potential that Egypt has for everybody that visits. And I hope, George, that I'll be able to go with you when you go your first time.
Well, I like the way you said that, when I go, because I do want to get out there one day. Do they have capabilities of doing broadcasts live out there, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, you can use your wireless computer system to make phone calls. They've got all kinds of any kind of modern technological implement that you would need is just a heartbeat away. So, absolutely.
That would be an interesting broadcast with Zahi Hawass jumping in every once in a while if I said the wrong thing. Censoring me. You talked about Abydos. It fascinates me primarily because of that, I guess, that template, that etching that shows what looks like a helicopter and a submarine. You know that picture I'm talking about?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, the temple guards there know all about it, too, the temple keepers, and they'll take you there for a small fee. It's one of the primary attractions there.
What do they say about that?
Well, they kind of go along with it. Some people have tried to refute that, saying that the glyph is actually caused by two overlapping hieroglyphs. But hey, I look at it; and it sure looks like a tank and a helicopter to me. And when you factor in the strangeness that surrounds Abydos, and its location beside this temple called the Osirian, which many believe is actually at least 10,000 years old, it suggests to me that this could well be a representation of a technology that existed long, long ago that was immortalized on the walls at Abydos.
Do other Egyptians kind of share that too, or do they believe whatever Zahi Hawass is talking about?
Well, quietly. I mean, at first, your guides basically tell you the party line. And after about the first 30 seconds of that, the whole group is saying, well, now tell us what you really think.
Yeah.
And they start to open up just a little bit and share some of their own personal convictions. And that's when you really start to learn. I mean, as you can imagine, the folks that travel with me are not your average tourists. They know when someone is feeding them a line, and they're quite capable of refuting the talk or refuting the facts that the person is giving them and asking the penetrating questions that will reveal the actual truth of a situation. And so, I mean, that's what happened with the guide that we had on our tour, is that he finally gave up and started offering his own personal views based upon his research, and started to even question some of the other things that he has been taught by traditional Egyptology.
And I bet he had a better time too, didn't he?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we were quite a handful, but still, I think he's going to go back and look at these monuments the next time with a little bit clearer vision.